Well, I need some volunteers. Do I have any volunteers tonight? I'd like to have... are there 6 12-year-olds here tonight? There's one. I need 5 more. I've got one. He'll give me 2. There's another one back there. There's 2. I got 2. He'll give me 3. I'm not a very good auctioneer. Well, let's see about 13-year-olds. Do I have any more? Are there any more 13-year-olds? We have one over here. Lydia, are you pointing to somebody? Good job, Lydia. Thank you for volunteering your brother. Is there another one up here? Keaton or Dallas? Okay, that takes me up to 4. I need 2 more. We have one. Oh, yeah, okay, right here. It's 5. I need 1 more. Do I got to go up to 14? Or is there one 14-year-old? Is she? Okay, come on up here. I've got a little task for you. I know these are kids' bells, but I want you to do it anyway. Numbers, you're number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, plus color-coded, okay? Now, I want you to turn around and face the other way, and we're going to play these bells when I flip these cards, okay? Look that way. Are you ready to play? You ready? Let's go. Ready? What's the matter? Oh, you need to be looking this way. Is that what you're saying? Does that help? Okay, we'll do it this way then. Okay, you ready? Just play the bell until I flip the card. I mean, it may be tough because my fingers will get stuck here, but I think you'll be able to catch the tune. Okay, you ready? Go ahead. Start off. So you knew what it was anyway? What was it? Andrea, you know what it was? Seriously? Let's do it again for you. Ready? Are they turned around still? Oh, were you? Did everybody else know what it was? Okay. We're going to play it again, only this time... you're going to look me in the eye, and I'm going to look at you and tell you which one to play, okay? Can you do that? Oh, maybe it's better if you turn around. No? Does that not work? What if you all turned that direction? Could you turn that direction and do it? Why? Okay. Okay, so you ready to start playing, okay? You ready? Go. What's not working for you? What's not working for you? You can't see me? Is that what you're saying? You need me to come closer? How close? You think that'll be good? Okay, get ready. a little better than what was back there. Think you could see me a little bit better right here? Try it for a little bit of it. Ready, go. There you go. Put your bells down. Thank you. Thank you. So what was the problem back there, kids? What was the biggest issue? I've preached this message here before, but I don't think I've ever done the bells. But it proves a point. And the Lord's been talking to me about it, wanting me to do it again and do it with the bells this time. What was the problem with me standing back there? God's word answers it, really. Psalm 32, verse 8. God tells us in this passage, Psalm 32, verse 8, He said, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." I will guide thee with mine eye. But if we're not looking, and if we're not close enough, we will not see His eye. We cannot see His eye. Quite often we ask ourselves the question, or maybe we'll even ask somebody else the question, how is it possible for me as human, flesh and bones, to be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? How can I receive instruction from Him? How can I be taught by Him? How can I be guided by Him? That's a three-point outline right there. Instructed, taught, and guided. He wants to teach us or instruct us and teach us and guide us. But the ultimate thing is, I must be close enough to see His eye. I must be close enough to see His eye. And if I'm going to be close enough to see His eye, I must first of all be looking in His direction. I can't be even glancing off to the side. It was obvious that they were not going to be able to play the song, no matter where I was behind them, if they were facing this direction. Andrea said it good. She said, "We're not that talented." You have to be facing His direction. Even when I told them to face that direction, well, surely they've got good peripheral vision. They're young people. They've got good peripheral, but not good enough to be able to pick up the instruction even of the cards, let alone looking at my eye. If I'm going to be led by His eye, guided by His eye, I must first of all be close enough to see, or I must be first of all looking in His direction. I must have a change of directions. And since we're talking here in this passage of Scripture about instruction and in teaching, we could very easily transfer that direction thing over to having a change of teachers. Maybe this is directed more to our younger people because it's something that they face. It's something that they would deal with. And as they're growing up, it's something that they need to keep in mind, that there's a lot of voices around. There's a lot of influence around. There's a lot of things around us that would draw our attention. But we must be looking in God's direction. We must be taking instruction from Him as our teacher. Perkheiser said, "There can be no holy living without renunciation of evil." Far too many people want to hang on to a little bit. Oh, this isn't all that bad. This isn't all that bad. This isn't all that bad. You know, we can talk about that in many, many different ways. And from many different angles, we can look at that, of the things of this world and the facets of this world and the dangers of those things. You know, quite often we get a little bit riled up whenever the preacher starts preaching against the internet. You know, we can't stand that internet preaching. And yet, in reality, we need to hear that internet has some great dangers. We need to hear that there's things around us that are dangerous. The little changes, the subtle changes that take place. We must be no longer, or we must reach that point where we are no longer willing to be taught by the ungodly in the matters of morality and in the matters of spirituality, even in the matters of that deal with the psychology. The psych, a part of our being. We must be careful that we are not learning from the ungodly of this world. No longer willing to allow society to press us into their mold. The renunciation of evil is what he said. But rather we should be a conduit for truth and light. We should affect darkness, not permit darkness. We should expose darkness, not be a proponent of darkness. If you don't get anything else out of this tonight, get this out of it, that I will never be close enough to receive instruction from him until I am turned in his direction. Until I am looking in his direction. It's a vital thing. The second thing we would notice here and point to in this matter is that not only a change of teachers or a change of directions, but we're going to have a change of textbooks. Let me ask you a question without pointing any fingers, because when I point fingers, then we raise our hands up defensively. But let me give it to you as a question. Now, I wonder, do we cause confusion among our children or those around us when our actions don't measure up to what we say that our values are? Do we cause confusion to somebody that's looking at us, whether it's our children or whether it's our neighbor? Do we cause confusion in them when our actions, our life, does not measure up to what we say that our values are? You know, we can't learn from him. We cannot learn from him when our faithfulness or our focus is pointed to another source. We cannot learn from him when our faithfulness is not his measurement of faithfulness. When we are focused in another direction. When our personal desires supersede or are stronger than our spiritual need and our hunger for the spiritual and the godliness that he would want us to be hungry for. I've talked about hunger lately and how that you and I, there's nobody here that's really hungry. And if they are hungry, then it's because we don't avail ourselves of the provisions around us. If you go to bed hungry tonight, that's your fault, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be some food available enough to satisfy your hunger. Do we know that hunger pains will eventually cool its heated cry? Did you ever notice that you can become hungry or your stomach begin to tell you that it's needing something or it's wanting something, but if you ignore it, it'll go away until a later date or a later minute? You can reach the point where you can quiet that heated cry of hunger. What about our spiritual cry for hunger? If we are not going in God's direction, if we are not looking at in His direction, if we are not hungering for Him, then our hunger pains can become quieted by us ignoring. If I am to be instructed and taught and guided by Him, then not only do I need to change my teacher or the direction that I'm going and to change my textbooks, but I also must change my tune or my tuner dial. If some of you are remembering what I said a number of years ago on this. You know, the tuner dial is obsolete. We don't talk about that anymore. But what are we listening to? Who are we listening to? What kind of music, what kind of talk, and what kind of activities, and what are we focused in and filling our ears with? There's a lot of noise around us. Jonathan and I were over at the house in Ligoti the other day doing some work, and we were outside, and you know, there's a lot of noise. The sirens, the cars, the trucks, the clanging and the banging, the people going around, and the cats screaming. Too many cats. The saw running, the drill running, all the activities and all the work that's going on and everything that's going around, there's all kinds of noise. But as we were over there working, I stopped and I said, Jonathan, I think I hear some hummingbirds fighting. And so I stopped to look around, and I was trying to focus in. And as I focused in on them, I could tell what direction they were, where they were located. And finally, I pinpointed them on the neighbor's vines, the trumpet vines that were over there. Sure enough, those little birds chattering in the midst of all of the other things, I was focusing in on locating where they were. Zeroing in on the voice of God. I had to change the tuner of my hearing to be able to focus in on something that had caught my attention. Even though it wasn't terribly loud, it wasn't the loudest sound that day, but it was something that caught my attention and I was drawing in on it. But if we're focused on ourselves, then we won't be able to hear so much of the voice of God. The things of ourself, the choices for self will deafen the voice of God. I still don't understand the pleasures of the world and how they think and claim that it's so pleasurable. Somebody said recently, and I think it was said in a happy way, hangovers have begun. I'm like, you know, I don't know what that means for sure. I've never experienced that, but it sounds to me like hangovers are negative. Hangovers are not pleasant. I just don't understand that kind of thing. But what are we listening to? What is the thing that is drawing us? What is it that we are hungering for? Are we allowing the bleed over from the world's voices and all the contaminant of the world and all the noise of the world that we are losing the sensitivity to His voice? If I'm to be guided by His eye, I must be looking in His direction. If I'm to be guided by His eye, I must be focused in His direction. If I'm going to be guided by His eye, then I will have to be living close enough to see His eye. I think this little bell thing points it out so well. They could play it with the cards just fine as long as I could keep the cards moving. There wasn't a mistake made up here. The mistake was made back there. And so when we're talking about God keeping the cards moving, He's going to keep them moving for us. But the thing is, God's not talking to us about using cards. He's not standing back there with large print scripture pointing it to us. He's talking about guiding us with His eye. And if we're going to be guided by His eye, we must be close enough to see His eye. Look what the psalmist said in the next verse. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Perkheiser said that he's asking us to be an obedient subject of our heavenly Lord. Do you need a bit and bridle to stay in the way? Do we need something that'll keep us on the right track, where He pulls the bit into our mouth and he has to tug at the reins in order to keep us in line? A number of years ago, we were out in Colorado, and I believe it was the Black Canyon that we went to see. And now, the big Black Canyon, you know, I mean, it's deep. You fall over there, it's over. It's history. I don't know when exactly you'll take your last breath, but I'm pretty sure that it'll happen before you hit the bottom. At least it seemed like that to me. Driving around, and you come around a little bit of a curve, and right there's the canyon, and there's no guardrail. I made comment in church that night. I said, you know, you all are really something out here without your guardrails. We have ditches back home that are huge ditches about that deep, and we put guardrails along the road. Have you ever needed a guardrail to stay on the road? I haven't to this point. But I am thankful that they're there. Even though I've never run into one to keep me from going over, I'm kind of glad that they're there. It's kind of nice to see the guardrails telling me that it's a deep place over here. You don't want to come this far. God has some guardrails for us too. And we need them. We like them, or at least we should like them, because if we don't like them, then I believe that puts us right there in verse number 9, that we are like the horse or the mule that God has to keep a rein on, that a bridle in the mouth, and to keep pulling us in because we are venturing too far over. We don't like that guardrail there. Do you have to have a bridle to live holy? Or does His eye keep you in the way? John Piper said it this way for us. Is there something God is calling me to die to that I might see Him more clearly? Is there something God is calling me to die to that I might see Him more clearly? Sometimes repetition is good. It may not be good at this point, but I'm going to do it and take a chance of it because I believe that it's good enough to repeat. Is there something God is calling me to die to that I might see Him more clearly? I don't need the guardrails along the road, or at least I haven't needed them to stay on the road. I'm kind of glad they're there. But do I need His bit to keep me holy, living holy? Is there something that I need to die to so that I can see Him more clearly? Do I need to have a spiritual cataract removed? If I'm going to be led by Him and guided by His eye, I'm going to have to be close enough to see His eye. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your attention, for your attendance. The Lord bless you and give you a good week this week. Praise God. Remember to pray for each other. Amen. Mom, would you dismiss us in prayer?